seated. Would you please turn with me tonight to Psalm 16? Psalm 16, I want to read only one verse from this psalm tonight, and it is the verse that is my text, verse 11. It says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." This is a motto text for me that I've taken for my life. I have an email address that is saunders1611@gmail.com. I'm not giving you an advertisement, by the way, to email me, but that's what it is. My phone number is 905-995-1611, and I was able to get that when I signed up with my service. And the reason for that is from Psalm 16, verse 11. And they are remarkable words. They are precious words. They are life words. And the title of my message tonight is simply this: The Joy and Blessing of God's Presence. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, as we come to the closing moments of our service tonight and of thy day, we give thanks for the privilege of being here. Thanks for singing the psalms and hymns that give testimony of thy grace and worship thy holy name. Thankful for the testimony that Jill was able to bring tonight of the grace and provision, protection, oversight of thy Spirit in a life, in a family, and how that has impacted many, even in this church tonight. And therefore, O God, we pray that we would know the help of the Holy Spirit in the words that we bring. May they be comfort and strength to needy souls. Lord, there may well be someone here tonight who is still outside of Christ, still an unbeliever. Lord, speak to their heart, I pray, and before this night goes into eternity, may they come to know the Savior that we know. May, Lord, they come to taste and see that the Lord is good. Hear this, our prayer tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God will show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. An interesting account of a man who lived in the 1620s. It was during the reign of Ferdinand II, who was the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, and he at that time had sent his armies into Bohemia, which is the present-day Czech Republic. And one of the fallouts of that time was the execution of many people who were Protestants. Some were nobles, some were just common people, and they stood in defense of their faith, of their religion. And as they did so, standing for that defense of their liberty and their faith, they were seen as a threat to the Roman Empire at that time. And so, Ferdinand II ordered the execution of those who were faithful Protestants. At this time, 21 of them were executed. It's interesting, if you go to St. Charles Square in Prague, where I have been, there is a place in the town center, and there are 21 X's on the stones on the ground. Most people today walk over them as nothing. They don't know the story behind them. We stopped some Czech people to say, could you tell me what these mean? They had no idea. And that's what history is like, isn't it? Time goes by, new generations come, and they don't know. But X's mark the spots where those 21 nobles were executed for their faith in Christ. And this going on, different parts of the world knowing nothing about it. And I tell you all that because there was one man by the name of Valentin Cochin. And he, for his faith in Christ, was to be executed by the removal of his head. As he was walking to the scaffold, do you know what he was singing? The last verse of Psalm 16. Thou wilt show me the path of life. How could that man sing that psalm? How could he possibly do that when he was facing the end of his life, facing death? There's only one way that that can happen. When a man faces the executioner's sword, when he faces the fire of trial at a time like that, it's because he knows and trusts in a God who is greater, in a power that is more infinite and mighty. And so this man was able to go into God's presence singing this psalm and with these words upon his heart, my God, I joy in your presence. And soon he was in the presence of his own Lord, of his own Master. And I want us to think tonight, just for a few moments, on the joy and blessing of God's presence and what it will do for us. You know, the first thing is this. The sovereign guidance of God that cannot fail. The sovereign guidance of God that cannot fail in our lives. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Do you ever question or ask, Lord, what am I going to do in my life? What is your will for me? Where am I to go? What job might I have? Who am I to marry in life? The most important decision that a person will make next to salvation. What am I to do, Lord? How am I to find my way? My friend, the only way you will know your way is to trust in the sovereign guidance of a hand that cannot fail. God will show me the path of life. This psalm, we didn't read it for time, but this psalm is full of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of him, it speaks of his burial, of his resurrection, and of an existence after death in the presence of God to those who belong to him. It is cited in Acts chapter 2, verses 25 to 28, and I want you to note the words of 28, well, if you had that open, it says, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. That's exactly the verse we're talking about here. And although this does refer to our Savior, in the unmistakable guidance that the Father had in the Son's life, and how the Son's life was submitted unto God, for he said, not my will, but thine be done. He was saying, Lord, you will show me, Father, the way I am to go. And because it referred to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are in him, we are in union with the Savior, it applies to us. It is God's will to show us his will in our lives. It's applicable to us. We have a sovereign director. It is thou, my God. Some may think when considering the violent death of Valentin Cochin, if this man was not part of the guidance of God, how could he be? How could God allow one of his choicest of saints have gone to death in that way? And you know, we would look upon that and say, this is not the purpose of God, or really, we need great faith to understand that. But yet to rest, my dear friend, in this, to rest as a child of God in the eternal purpose of the Lord for our lives, it brings an inexpressible comfort. There is no peace like it, of knowing that your hand is held in the hand of an eternal one, of an all-powerful, omnipotent Creator. To the one who is in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is great peace in relying on the promises of Scripture. Valentin Kochan knew Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Our Lord God is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. And because He is our God, it gives us great comfort. And we can rest peacefully in this truth that the judge of all the earth does right. He does right in the kingdom of heaven. He does right among the councils of men. And our sovereign Lord is in control of all things. And believer, tonight, He is in control of your life. Therefore, with joy, submit yourself to Him and say, Lord, take me where You want me to go. Lead me in the pathway that You want me to go in. Do you want to know how God thinks? Do you want to know His will? You will find the evidence of this in only one place. It is found in His holy word. And so, believer, we need to be in the Bible. We need to be knowing God's mind from reading the Scripture. Because I will tell you, if you're not educated by the Scripture through the Holy Spirit, we will most definitely be influenced by the world and all of the enticements and all of the impressions that are given to us by day-to-day interaction with people, by media, by movies, by all the stuff, computers. We'll be influenced by it for sure. We need the mind of the Lord. We need to know His Word. I wonder tonight, my dear friend, do you know Him as Savior? Young person here? Older person? Visitor? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? You will find Him in the Scripture. And therefore, we must meditate upon the Word of God. Commit it to our memory by memorization. And we must then take the word that we learn by the Spirit of God and mix it with faith so that we can grow thereby. He is the sovereign Lord. There is a very specific path that's talked about here in verse 16, because it simply says that Thou, God, wilt show me the path of life. It is a specific path. It's not a path that you and I will guess or stumble on and think, well, I hope this is the right direction. That's not the way the Christian is to walk. It's not the way the Lord would have us go. But the Lord has a specific path for His children. It is the path to eternal life. And it's the path that He has called us to walk on. The Lord Jesus said that the path to glory is a narrow one, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction. But God has called us to the narrow pathway. And what is that path? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, our Lord, is the path, the way of life. And as we walk in Him and in fellowship with Him and fulfilling His mind and will, we are walking in the pathway that our Heavenly Father would have us to walk in. All the ways of God are truth. Psalm 119, verse 151. And I love Ephesians 1 verse 13, in whom we also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The Lord has led us through and down that pathway. And if the Holy Spirit, my dear friend tonight, if He did not show us the pathway of life, we would continue to wander in darkness if He had not led us by grace to the place of the cross and of salvation. We would still be wandering today in darkness. But the Lord has promised to to lead us and to guide us in the center of His own precious will, even when we cannot see or don't know the way forward. How could this man, Ko Chan, know what God was doing? It took faith and trust to say, Lord, my life is in Your hands. If You want me to live for You, I'll live to 100. If Your choice is for me to give my life in the prime, then Lord, I will give it. It is Your purpose. And when I can't see the way, when a pilot is flying the plane and it's completely fogged in and he has no idea, he cannot see, he must depend on his instruments to fly. And you and I, when the clouds have come over and we don't know what's going on, we can't see the way, we must fly by the instrumentality of the Word of God and faith alone in that Word that will take us on the course that we are to go on. For the Lord knows, my dear friend, the way that you take. He knows the way. You know, when Abraham's servant Eleazar was sent to find a wife for Isaac, after God had led him, he stepped back and said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Here is a man sent and commissioned by God's servant Abraham, and he himself, Eleazar, was a man walking with God. And he said, oh Lord, you have led me in the way that, well, I couldn't have determined myself. And as our faith and our eyes are upon Him, the Lord makes the pathway known for us. But it's not only the pathway, it is a personal pathway because it's the path for me. David was able to say, and it's in the silhouette of the Lord Jesus speaking, that God will show me the path of life. And believer, when you're in some quandary and uncertain, not knowing the future, you come to the Lord by faith and say, oh God, lead my life. I don't want to make any mistakes. I don't want to go wandering off and waste years of my life. I want my life to be meaningful for you. I want, oh God, to be right in the center of thy will. Therefore, oh God, show to me the path of life. That's what I want to know. The Lord has promised He will do this. For I will guide thee, He says, with mine eye. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is such a well-known portion, and it has been a marker for the life of many a child of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths, the path of life for you. So, this is the Lord's promise. But there's something else here in this text. It is a communion that brings joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Have you ever experienced such a close fellowship with God in prayer when you were conscious of His nearness in such a way as the extent of your joy was so overflowing, you could not explain it. And you just wanted to be there for a long time. You knew God's presence with you. Believer, maybe it's been a long time since you have known such a presence. Maybe it's been a long time since I have known that close communion with God. We pray, Lord, bring it back again. Lead us, Lord, and draw us in the center of Your perfect will. Let me know the sweetness of communion, of the peace of God, of the love of the Lord. You know, these things can only be by pushing aside the other things that press in, that we might walk with Him and know His presence continually. You know, God has told us that we are to ask Him that we might have fullness of joy. And this comes up repeatedly in the book of John. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. And sometimes we stay in the dark shadows instead of coming into the sunlight. And you know, as the sun rises, and if you're outside and you set a chair and it will be in the sunlight, what do you have to do within an hour or two if you're in a shaded treed area as the sun's moving? Why, before long you find, well, your chair's not in the sun anymore. You've got to get up and move your chair into the sunlight. And that's what you and I need to do as well at times, because the clouds come over our life and we have to move and so on, to know that we are in the center of God's will, enjoying and basking in His sunlight. Romans 15 and 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Joy and peace in believing. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, it is God's intention that you and I walk with Him in peace and in joy, even though our life might be filled with trial. Because to walk with the Lord even in the trial is to know fullness of joy. You ask, is it possible to have joy in the midst of trial? Well, if you were able to, you could ask the Apostle Paul and Silas, who, when they were designated for execution the next morning, where were they in prison at midnight? They were singing. How could they do that? Because the Lord was with them and they were with Him. And they had great, exceeding joy in their hearts. And their lives were just resigned to Him. They knew that His will was the perfect answer for them. And so, yes, in the midst of our trial, in the midst of a prison term sentence, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, we can walk with the Lord and know constant joy and communion in Him. Think of the three Hebrew children in that superheated furnace in Daniel's day. It was Christ who was with them. We were commenting on that this morning in the service. It was the Savior who was one of their number. And those men were not even appearing to be troubled by the fire. In fact, when they were called out of the fire again, they did not even have the scent of smoke upon them. Not one hair was singed. The Lord was with them in the trial and through the trial. Now, it doesn't always happen that way, friend, that you are delivered from it. But one thing is certain, that you can be guaranteed of this: the Savior is with you as you're going through. And that, for the child of God, there is great peace that my Creator, my Redeemer, my Savior has promised never to leave me, never to forsake me, never, no, never to leave me alone. He is our great High Priest. He is our King. He is our returning and reigning monarch. And as we lift our eyes to heaven and we look to Him, oh, my dear friend, we do not have to fear the return of Christ, but we look forward to that. We do not have to fear coming into His presence, because His blood has made atonement for us. We have joy exceedingly in His presence, and there is nothing to fear. There will be, my friend, indescribable fear to those who meet the Lord in their sin. If you meet Christ tonight and you are not saved by His grace, you're not covered by His blood, you will fear. You will pray that the rocks and the mountains would fall upon you and hide you from the face of the Lamb, of the returning Savior. Oh, my dear friend, don't tamper with those things. Call upon Him now while you have time. The Puritan Thomas Brooks, he said, "The joy of the saints in heaven is never ebbing, but always flowing to a all contentment. The joy of saints in heaven is a constant joy and everlasting joy." Let the joy of the Lord, therefore, be your strength tonight. Let it be your peace. Let you know that the possessor of heaven and earth is yours, because you are the one to possess Him. He has said that your joy will be full. And then finally, there is a reward that shall never diminish. For He says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I cannot begin to describe to you what heaven will be like in that sense, for I have no idea. I have no idea what it will be like, as the book of Revelation describes a crystal sea and roads paved of gold. I don't know that those are maybe necessarily just illustrations to tell us of the wealth, the opulence, the richness of those things and how it will look like, we don't really know. But we know this, that we will be in the presence of our Lord Jesus. And my dear friend, to be in His presence for eternity is something that we cannot describe. It is a fulfillment of the inner self and soul that will be so overwhelming. We'll be with Him, not for time, but for all eternity. And we will be at His right hand. And being at the right hand of our Redeemer and Savior, it won't matter what else heaven looks like, because we will be with Him and we will see Him. And John tells us that when we see Him, we'll be like Him. We'll be with Him forever and forever and forever. There is no way of describing that blessed and holy union that we have. Another Puritan by the name of Stephen Charnock said, "We will have joys without mixture, pleasures without number, a fullness without want, a constancy without interruption, and a perpetuity without end." That's a good description of what it will be like to be with the Lord forever and forever. Are you overwhelmed tonight by your present circumstance? Maybe it's deep in your heart and no one else knows a thing about it, even though they're close to you. Well, my dear friend, you bring that problem, that issue, to this verse of Scripture. You bring it there and you place all your anxiety and all your care. You bring it to the Savior. You bring it to your Heavenly Father. And there you leave it with Him, because Jesus Christ in you is your hope of glory, and you have every reason to rejoice. And that, my friend, is the answer. That's how Valentin Cochin went to the execution, to his own execution, his death. He could do so singing Psalm 16 and verse 11, because he tasted and saw, he knew the experience of Christ in him. And that is a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And I pray that that will be your peace, your hope, your joy tonight. Let's bow in prayer. As our eyes are closed tonight, and our service is almost over, it may be that there is someone here tonight and the Lord has spoken to you regarding salvation. And I say to you, where your head is bowed and where you are seated, you can call upon Him. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." And He will come to you, He will save you, He will give you new life, everlasting life, and you will know the joy and peace of believing. And my friend, maybe you're here tonight and you have not been walking with the Lord the way you know you should, and the days have turned into months and the months maybe into years. It's time to come back to Him. It's time to rededicate your life and say, "Oh God, restore to me the years the locusts of sin have eaten." God is able. He will do it. Just come and give your heart over to Him again tonight and say, "Lord, come and walk with me. Renew and revive my spirit." Heavenly Father, I pray that this precious psalm and this verse, Lord, would be so written on our hearts that it would speak to us. The Holy Spirit will take these words and be used tonight for the honor and glory of King Jesus. Lord, hear this, our prayer. Save souls, restore backsliders. Lord, encourage the hearts of your people tonight to go on from strength to strength, witnessing to small and great, until our Lord Jesus comes back to earth again, or until we are called to go home in death. Dear Lord, keep us, we pray, faithful. Part us now in thy fear, and with thy rich blessing, we ask all these things in Jesus' worthy name.